This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Thursday, July 30th, 2020. Today you will hear how Ted Cruz has introduced legislation to make Democrats read the First Amendment one time. But he was interrupted by the Democrats, who thought he might let Attorney General William Barr say something. Don't let him say anything. And then we will close with comments from the director of the CDC, who says, shock, the flu is way worse for kids than COVID-19. First up, Ted Cruz introduces legislation to make Democrats read the First Amendment. Okay, not exactly. Jeremy Frankel reports from Bongino.com. On Tuesday, Senator Ted Cruz introduced legislation that would withhold coronavirus funding to states and localities that engage in religious discrimination against people or institutions regarding COVID restrictions. You know, like what the First Amendment says. The Safeguarding Americans from Coronavirus and Religious Exercise Discrimination Act, or the Sacred Act, would penalize the states and localities that the Attorney General determines are religiously discriminating. Should the discriminating stop, the funding could then go through. I don't know. I mean, I'm just worried. I mean, it's all put in the hands of the Attorney General determining whether someone is discriminating against someone religiously or not. I don't know. That makes me nervous, Senator Cruz. In a press release, Cruz said, throughout this pandemic, we've seen numerous examples of state and local governments instituting discriminatory regulations that unfairly target people of faith and which restrict houses of worship from operating while exempting secular gatherings and operations from the same rules. That's true. He goes on, as Congress continues to provide relief funds to combat the impact of COVID-19, it is crucial that we protect the First Amendment right of religious liberty from discrimination. There it is, the First Amendment right. That's why I've introduced the Sacred Act. By blocking funds from governments that discriminate against religious organizations, we can fairly protect religious liberty and the rights of those who seek to gather together safely for worship. Well, I appreciate what Cruz is attempting to do here. I'm more and more leery of these sorts of things for how they may be weaponized against us, against Christians, against conservatives down the road. I can now imagine this very same legislation being used against Christians and states that protect Christians down the road. Pretty soon, states that do not crush Christians legally will be punished in the name of the Sacred Act. I'd rather battle this out on the grounds of the First Amendment. I'd rather make these people just uphold the First Amendment. I'm worried about establishing other things that muddy the waters. Speaking of keeping the waters clear and clean and having a level playing ground and fighting the good fight, I want to invite you to the Fight Laugh Feast Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st. Through the 3rd. It's coming up this October, Fight Laugh Feast Conference, the first ever Weapons for This War. That's the theme. Weapons for This War. You say, what war? You know, I don't know. Just take your pick. Any of them. Any of them. We've put together a package that is full of feasting and psalm singing, hearty fellowship, a lineup of speakers committed to showing you how God's Word is your weapon, your sword, that applies to politics, economics, business, education, creativity, marriage and family, your personal walk with the Lord, all of it and more. So I want to invite you to join us October 1st to the 3rd, Nashville, Tennessee, as we build a rowdy Christian culture for God's glory and our good. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. William Barr has answers, but Democrats didn't want any of them. Washington Post reports Democrats clashed with Attorney General William Barr on Tuesday. Lawmakers spent months seeking Barr's testimony on a host of issues related to the Trump administration's interactions with the Justice Department. With the Attorney General finally seated at the witness table, Democrats mostly made speeches or talked over him as he attempted to answer their questions, seemingly squandering any chance of getting new information or an admission out of him. This is a hearing. I thought I was the one who was supposed to be heard, Barr said in exasperation at one point. In a thick fog of partisan bickering, indignant lawmakers argued about everything from mask-wearing etiquette to bathroom breaks. In the afternoon, the committee chairman, Representative Gerald Nadler from New York, initially refused Barr's request for a 5-minute break. "You're a class act," the attorney general said sarcastically before Nadler finally relented. Many of the angriest exchanges focused on the federal government's response to protests over police misconduct and brutality, with Nadler accusing the Attorney General of deploying more manpower to spark ugly confrontations with protesters because, the lawmaker argued, Trump believes such confrontations will scare Americans into voting for him. You're projecting fear and violence nationwide in pursuit of obvious political objectives. Shame on you, Mr. Barr, Nadler said. Barr replied that U.S. Marshals and other federal agents have a duty to guard Portland's federal courthouse from people tossing fireworks and trying to vandalize and break into the building. He said they are under siege in that building and need help dealing with a nightly barrage of fireworks, fires, and attacks. Multiple law enforcement personnel have sustained serious injuries, Barr said. We are on the defense, we are not looking for trouble, and if the state and the city would provide the law enforcement services that other jurisdictions do, we would have no need to have additional marshals in the courthouse, the Attorney General said. But a good deal of the hearing consisted of the Democrats interrupting Barr and refusing to let him answer any of the questions that they kept on asking him to answer.
Isn't that correct?
No, what is correct is that what is correct that on February 10th, Monday, I gave instructions as to what the...
Reclaiming my time.
Yeah, I'm answering your question.
Well, you got to let him answer.
Reclaiming my time.
On February 10th.
No, sir.
On February 10th, I directed...
Reclaiming my time, sir. Reclaiming my time, and I know you don't want to answer.
There you got it. There you go. Reclaiming my time. I'm reclaiming my time now. David Marcus of The Federalist explains what's going on here. There is a serious giveaway in this tactic. When a member of Congress thinks he or she has a witness dead to rights for having made mistakes or made false statements, the lawmaker tries to compel the witness to answer hard questions, not refuse to allow it. The problem was that Barr clearly had very good answers for every question he was asked. There was no gotcha because he did nothing wrong, and he could explain all of his actions. One of the best examples was the questioning from Representative Pramila Jayapal. She engaged in a long rant about how when Trump supporters showed up at the Michigan Capitol with guns and Confederate flags, Barr did not react. But in Portland and Washington, D.C., he did react. She drew the conclusion that this was bias. When Barr tried to explain the situation, she simply talked over him. Probably saying something like, I'm reclaiming my time. Okay. Why, if this was such a gotcha question, why not let Barr squirm, right? If he doesn't have a good answer, let him reveal that to the watching world. The reason, of course, David Marcus goes on, is that when Barr began his answer, it was obviously going to make complete sense. It was going to diffuse the angry rhetoric from Jayapal and destroy her soundbite, which is all she wanted in the first place. He began to explain that the White House and the federal courthouse in Portland are under his jurisdiction, whereas the Michigan State House is not. And the Michigan authorities are capable of handling that issue, which they did, with no violence or property damage. But she didn't let him get a word in. That was flat out not a question. In fact, there were almost no questions from Democrats, and nearly every time there was, they refused to let the witness answer. At one point, Barr said again, this is a hearing. I thought I was the one who was supposed to be heard. It was the only wrong thing he said all day. Next up, CDC director says the flu is 5 to 10 times a greater threat to school-age children than COVID-19. Amanda Prestigiamico from The Daily Wire writes, during a Buck Institute webinar streamed on July 14th, Center for Disease Control, the CDC, and Prevention Director Robert Redfield promoted the general reopening of schools, highlighting the low coronavirus risk for children without pre-existing conditions and the unfortunate spike in suicides and drug overdoses, which Redfield said are far greater in number than COVID-linked deaths in the young. It's not risk of school openings versus public health. It's public health versus public health, asserted Redfield. I'm of the point of view, and I weigh that equation as an individual that has 11 grandchildren, that the greater risk is actually to the nation to keep these schools closed, he continued. Redfield said that over 7 million children get mental health services from their school. A lot of people get food and nutrition in schools, and added that schools are vital in terms of mandatory reporting sexual and child abuse. Unless, of course, you're transitioning. Okay, never mind. Obviously, the socialization is important, he said, and obviously, for some kids, I think actually a majority of kids, they're learning in a face-to-face school is the most effective method of teaching. The reopening, Redfield underscored, has to be done safely, and it has to be done with the confidence of the teachers. It has to be done with the confidence of parents. And so I think each of the school districts will begin to wrestle with this. Speaking of the risks of the China-originated coronavirus to children, Redfield said data shows the flu is some 5 to 10 times more deadly, adding that the odds of a child dying a COVID-linked death is 1 in 1,000,000. Quote, I think it is important to try to be factual as we go through this, the CDC director said. Well, that's a wonderful idea. Let's be factual. He continues, when we look at right now the mortality of this particular COVID virus, the first almost 218,000 people we looked at February to July, there was 52 individuals under the age of 18. And if I recollect, about 35 were actually school age. Some of them were younger than school age. We're looking critically at those individuals. And you know, clearly there's an increase in comorbidities related to significant medical conditions. And then he continues, but I think that's important because what that means actually is the risk per 100,000 so far, you know, into the outbreak, 6 months into it, is in fact that we're looking at about 0.1 per 100,000. So another way to say that, it's 1 in 1,000,000, Redfield said in reference to the death rate among children. He continues, now I'm not trying to belittle that. I'm just trying to make sure we look at it proportional, he said, because if you do the same thing for influenza deaths for school-aged children over the last 5 years, they're anywhere from 5 to 10 times greater. According to CDC.gov, the risk of complications for healthy children is higher for flu compared to COVID-19. However, infants and children with underlying medical conditions are at increased risks for both flu and COVID-19. The thing we need to keep pressing in all of this is what the CDC director actually said. Facts. We need facts, and we need to hold those facts up against the big picture so that we remain proportional, so that we don't act out of proportion to the actual threat. So first of all, the facts. The actual mortality rate is very low, especially for the healthy and those under 80 years of age. The vast majority of deaths from COVID have been, unfortunately, from the elderly. We should protect the elderly. But one of the best ways to protect them is for the rest of the healthy population to go about their business, keep doing their work. We need to support and protect them by being productive and fruitful, not falling into millions of unemployment, businesses collapsing so that we can't protect and defend and provide for the elderly. Eventually, as we go about our business, we will gradually establish herd immunity. The second thing is you need to keep pointing out the discrepancies. Casinos can be open, theaters can be open, protests and riots with thousands of people. This tells you all you need to know about the danger of COVID-19. Last, you know, really mixed feelings about public schools reopening, right? I mean, seriously. On the one hand, I'd just rather them all close down. I'm fine with them being terrified of being open. I love the idea of them falling apart and the money being given back to the parents, and the parents using the money to educate their own children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or at least freely in a free country. At the same time, I know that this is more of an attempt to completely send the nation into chaos, because ultimately the Democrats are throwing a major fit about the possibility of Trump being reelected. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You can find this in all our shows at crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Have you done that yet? You really should. Just if you're listening to this on your computer or some other, seriously, you should have the app. Download the app. All the shows are broken out. It's beautiful. There's little notifications when things are happening. New shows drop. It's really handy. It's the only way you can get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey. Remember, Major League Baseball has started again. He's talking about baseball. He's talking about real games and players and stats. And he's an experienced Major League Baseball pitcher. He knows what he's talking about. Also, you want to become a member. I know this is something that sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you think to yourself, why am I not a Fight Laugh Feast Club member yet? Why have I not done that? Well, let me just remind you now, go ahead and do it. go to crosspolitic.com, go to fightlaughfeast.com, join, become a member. You get access to all kinds of backroom content, discussions we've had with various friends like David French, Eric Erickson, Maj Touré, Biblical Parenting with Doug and Nancy Wilson, God and Government and End Times Eschatology with Gary DeMar, Pastors and Politics with George Grant and C.R. Wiley. I do a Proverbs Bible study. I need to get back into it. Some of you know that. And our very own Worldview Shotgun series. Also, if you're a member, you get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st to the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com, become a member, download the app, and register for the conference. Have a great day.